So today we are talking about killing giants. Tell your neighbor we're going to kill some giants today. Okay. Listen, if you're really tall, don't worry about it. We're not talking about you. We're not talking about you. There's a lyrics from a song called Killing Giants that says this: "All my life I've been pushed around, always lost, not found. But I didn't realize a giant standing in my way, leading me astray. Now it's time for me to rise." And at some point in everybody's life, in everybody's journey, they will have to face a giant, some type of giant in your life. A financial giant, it might be. It might be an attitude giant. You might have the worst attitude in the world. You have an attitude giant. It might be a recurring struggle, a life-controlling problem. It might be a giant of fear, a giant of disappointment, a giant of grief. It might be a health challenge that you just can't get your head around. It might be a sex or sexuality giant. And oftentimes, people can walk through this life, they can put a smile on their face, they can go through the motions, even though inside they feel like the giants in their life have completely defeated them. Kind of like, as a culture, we have just all decided to pretend that we don't have any giants, that we don't have giants terrorizing us. It's like somehow we made a deal that we just all bought into that says, hey, you don't tell me about your giants, and I won't tell you about mine. Secrets and cover-ups and avoidance seems to be what we do. But it turns out that secrets and cover-ups and avoidance are the food and fuel that giants grow on. People oftentimes live defeated lives either for one of two reasons, either because of the lies that they believe or because of the lifestyles that they choose. And so today we're going to talk about strategies for defeating giants. Strategies for defeating giants. If you want to take notes, you can. You can text your friends that aren't here. Hey, this is a good one. You know, yeah, here's the strategies that we learned today. But I want you to do this right now. I want you to reposition yourself. Begin to reposition yourself today as a giant killer. Tell your neighbor, you're a giant killer. Okay? Now, don't you love it when I do that and you look and the person is your neighbor is looking at the other neighbor? All right? So it happens sometimes, but it still counts. If I ask you the question, who are you? The answer is, I'm a child of God. Child of God. Who are you? Child of God. Who are you? Who are you? But if I ask you the question, what do you do? The answer is, I kill giants. What do you do? What do you do? Who are you? What do you do? Okay, I think you got it. Your identity is a child of God. What do you do? You were born to kill giants. You kill giants. If you don't know, we're gonna tackle a pretty basic text today. David and Goliath. Then Goliath, who is the enemy, a Philistine champion from Gath, who are also the enemies, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel, the good guys. And he was over 9 feet tall. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you coming out to fight? Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul, who is their king. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. Now, isn't that interesting? Here it is, 40 days and nights. The giant is in front of the Israelites, just taunting them, tormenting them, embarrassing them. They have a giant, and somebody needs to take care of it. Somebody needs to kill the giant. And so often in our lives, we have a giant in our land, and somebody has to be willing to kill it, or all will be lost. And we're going to give you just a few simple strategies today for killing giants, but one of them is perhaps not something really obvious in the text today. Sometimes the best way to kill your giant is to never begin. Just simply to never begin. And let me explain. In the text, one of the verses we didn't read in verse 14 says, David, who was the youngest son, David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. One day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. I want you to notice this for a second. This is a teenage son. A teenage son who's going back and forth between the battle line and the dad. He's kind of the delivery boy, the errand boy of sorts. And they're about, just to say, about 15 miles away from each other. 15 miles, no car. No motorcycle, no dune buggy. They're in the desert. David's got to go back and forth. 15 miles one way, 15 miles back. Just imagine what that conversation might look like at many homes with a teenager and a dad in America today. It would have been like, hey, son, could you just, you know, take this bread and some food over to your brothers 15 miles away. Dad, can I have the car? Nope. Can I use the horse? Nope. You got to walk. I can imagine that there would have been some huffing and some puffing and some moping around. I can't believe I have to do this. It would have been an uncomfortable walk. It would have been a difficult journey. It simply would have been easier for David to stay at home in the tent watching Netflix, all right? I can imagine, like, today there would be all kinds of Instagram things going on about the journey and whatever. But I want you to catch this. That's not what David did. David just did it. David just went, took the stuff to his brothers. He didn't pretend like he did. He actually did. And what happened in this moment was David chose not to create a giant in his life. He could have rebelled, he could have been angry, he could have been disrespectful, all these kind of things, but he didn't do any of it. He just chose not to fight it. He was going to do what needed to be done. He could have also, when he got to the battle lines, he could have fought with his brothers. He could have fought them because the truth is they were an embarrassment. They were part of the problem. And sure, they had a few words, but David quickly moved on. And many times in life, people will simply take unnecessary moments and turn them into giants in their life. Create all kinds of family drama that doesn't even need to happen. And they create a giant. Many times we create our own giants and the devil didn't have anything to do with it at all. We did it. We built it. The devil shows up on the scene and is like, oh, they already got it taken care of. They got plenty of giants already. You started a fight and created your own giant. So sometimes the best strategy to beat giants is simply not to begin. Not to begin at all. Listen, it's tough to become an alcoholic if you never drink alcohol. I know I'm being pretty simple there, but it's true. It's tough to get hooked on drugs if you never begin using them. It's tough to lose your integrity if you never begin compromising. Listen to this today. The message that you have inside of you, your testimony, your cargo, what you carry in you, your gifts, your call, your purpose is too precious for you to get caught up in the things and drama of this life. A lot of people trying to change the course of their life in a positive direction continue to fail over and over and over again because of this. Because they tolerate things in their life that will not help them. They tolerate things that will not help them. And when what you tolerate in your life will begin to dominate your life. What you tolerate in your life can quickly become a giant. And I know the reality is that people think to themselves, but Pastor Kurt, other people do this stuff. Why can't I? The drama is exciting. chaos is familiar. The club is thrilling. The forbidden touch or conversation feels almost freeing. Let me help you with this, friends. You might see some other people that claim to be following Christ, getting involved with all kinds of, let's call it, low-level foolishness. But can I tell you, they aren't trying to kill any giants. Instead of destroying the real giants in their lives, they now open up new challenges and problems in their lives. And instead of having one or two giants to defeat, they now got three or four. If you want more giants, do what they do. If you don't, do this. If you want to kill some giants, then your attitude can be, others might get involved with low-level stuff, but I simply refuse. I refuse to engage. I refuse to participate. I refuse to let new giants into my life while I stand and open the door for them. When people are trying to kill the financial giant in their life, when people are trying to get their financial life in order, one of the earliest decisions people have to make is this. They have to refuse to go into any more debt. They got to stop the bleeding. You have a big financial giant in front of you. You don't need to add any more giants. And the best way of all to kill the giant of debt is to never get into debt to begin with. But sometimes the best way to beat your giants is not to have them in the first place, is not to even begin. You're thinking, oh, that's really nice, Pastor Kirk, but we're well beyond that. I got so many giants, I just need you to tell me how to kill them. Okay? And so here we go. You got to do some math. You got to calculate. Second strategy for killing giants is to calculate the reward of winning versus the regret of defeat. Calculate the reward of winning for the regret of defeat. 1 Samuel 17:25, as David is talking to the army, and they're talking back, they said, "Have you seen the giant?" The men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king," watch this, this is best, "has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife." I hope she wanted that. That would be complicated. "And that man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." That blessed me when I read that. I said, that is an amazing. Listen, if you have giants around and you don't want to kill them, just have your brother kill them for you, and you don't have to pay taxes. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking here. The point here is this. There is a reward for killing the giants in your life. The reward might be freedom. The reward might be financial health. The reward might be physical health. Lots of rewards. There's a little giant that we're going to try to help you kill in September. We're going to be offering a smoking, vaping cessation group here at the church. Why? Because there's a whole lot of you that are wrestling with this right now. You got this little giant hanging out in your life, and you need to try to kill it. Why is it that we're going to do this? Well, because I don't want you to die a horrible death. Okay? I don't. It's the worst as a pastor when your friends and people you love die horrible deaths. Second, it holds you captive like a slave. And I don't want you to be slaves. I want you to be free. Third, it costs you a ridiculous amount of money. And you need to use it for other things. And fourth, you will smell better. My point here is this. If you kill the giant, there are rewards for you. Killing the giant has rewards. Don't forget when you're facing giants that whatever it costs you to kill the giant, there is a reward for killing it. The reward might be that your marriage goes to different levels than you ever thought it could be. It might be that you have a restored and renewed relationship with your kids. It might mean that you continue your recovery journey. If you kill the giant, there is a reward in your life that is worth more than whatever it cost you to defeat it. Pastor Curtis, it's going to cost so much to defeat it. It will cost me so much time, so much effort, so much energy, so much whatever. It's worth the cost. The battle is real, I know. And the fight is difficult, and the pain is present, but the reward is always worth it. And one of the strategies of all giants is to convince you to sacrifice long-term goals for short-term fulfillment. The satanic giants of this world will promise you powerful, immediate pleasure for the total sacrifice of your future. Listen, there are lots of things that will make you temporarily feel better, or temporarily feel alive, or temporarily feel loved. But often those are the very things that will destroy your long-term hopes and long-term dreams. So what are you supposed to do? Kill the giant now. Who are you? And what do you do? Who are you? What do you do? So if you kill giants to get your future back, to get your family back, to get your finances back, to get your faith back, your integrity back, your freedom back, because you were born a giant killer. And there are times when you have to simply double down and ask yourself, do I want to live my life as a coward, or do I want to live as a warrior? Do I want to be the giant killer I was created to be? Come on, giant killer, this is your destiny. It is who you are. You can do it. I believe it even if you don't. Because you are a child of God. And you were born to kill them, giants. Whatever they are, no matter how big they are, no matter how hard they are, another strategy is this, is simply to show up. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again, right? Show up to the fight. Show up to the fight and be prepared. Be prepared when you show up to the fight. When David was getting ready to go to the fight, it says this. It says he picked up five, how many? Five smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Here it says he picked up five stones. Five stones. Why five stones? Why five? Why not three? Why not seven? Why not 15, 26, 314? Why did it say five stones? Why did he pick up five stones? Well, here's something that you might get a kick out of. For thousands of years, theologians and academics have been debating the reason that David picked up five stones. Some people think that David picked up five stones to symbolize the five kingdoms. Right. A teenager picking up five stones thought, I'm going to symbolize the five kingdoms. Some people are like, five dispensations or five generations or five angels or five demons. Can I tell you, there's absolutely no Bible evidence that any of those things are true. But since everybody's guessing, I'll throw my guess in as well. I think David got five stones for two reasons. The first, in case he missed the first time, just imagine if David had gone to the stream, got one stone, and missed. It's a slingshot. It's possible that he could have missed. It's not one of those slingshots. It's one of these slingshots. And when the stone comes out of this whirling slingshot, it's not just a little, like, it's super fast. It's not quite as fast as a bullet, but it will kill you. It has very much the power to kill you. It's likely that David would have missed. So I imagine David's down at the stream thinking, oh, yeah, I need to take a few stones in case I miss. The second reason is, I think, because Goliath said that if you kill me, then the Philistines will become your slaves. My guess is that David did not believe him and wanted some extra stones in case some of Goliath's friends came chasing after him so he would still have some backup. The idea here is this. David was prepared. David was prepared to try again and to try again and to try again and to try again and to try again. He was prepared to try again. So listen, when you go after your giants, be prepared to try again and again and again and again and again. Keep showing up to the fight. Keep showing up. Why? Because you win because you showed up. Not because you are good, but because God is good. And when you show up, that's when you get to win the fight. So show up ready to fight. Make sure you go and you get your stones. And be wise enough to know that when there is one giant, there are likely more. Falling down, failing, struggling, challenging. Falling down in life might be an accident, but staying down is always a choice. So you may go after the giant, and it might not look the way you thought it would. You might stumble along the way. You might trip and fall. Get back up. Just keep getting back up. Before the service today, we were playing a song from Super Chick. It's called Get Up, and some of the words of the song are this: I'm not afraid to fall. It means I climbed up high. To fall is not to fail. You fail when you don't try. Not afraid to fall. I might just learn to fly, and I will spread these wings of mine. The Bible says it like this in Proverbs: the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. It's not the lack of falling that makes one righteous or godly. It is, in fact, the getting back up. So when you fall, when you fail, when you don't quite succeed, simply get back up. Tell your neighbor, get back up. That is why I believe that our spirits leap when people come back, when the underdogs come back. Because we are all created in the image of God, and when we connect with this universal spiritual principle, restoration, redemption is always an option. There is no way, there is no one that can hear this that has fallen so hard that they can't get back up with the help of Jesus, no matter how far. You follow, no matter how many times, with the help of Jesus, you can get back up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up while we wrap up this last point. Another strategy here is this: stop letting your enemy do all of the talking. Stop letting your giants do all of the talking. In the passage, if you read it, Goliath's doing all this trash talking to Israel and to David. And in verses 45 and 46, David finally responds, and he says this. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He's a teenager talking like this. Continues, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." And then, that's some serious trash talking, after he's dead, "then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, it builds up your faith. And just as faith comes by hearing the Word of God, fear comes by hearing the uncontested word of your enemies. The word of the enemies, when you do not contest it, builds fear in your life. And when the giants tell you, and when the giants come and they tell you that you're never going to get it done, and when the little devil birds land on your shoulders and start to whisper all kinds of horrible things about who you are and who you are not, you've got to learn to shout back, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't tell me what I can't do." When the giants of your life say that you are weak, you shout back, "For when I am weak, then I am strong in Jesus." And when the giant says, "Ah, you did it again, you fell again. I told you you would fall." You say, I might trip seven times, but I will get back up again. I will get back up again. Remember this, the giant that is in front of you, whatever it is today, is never bigger than the Spirit of God who lives in you. The giant that is in front of you is never bigger than the Spirit of God who lives in you. Why don't you stand with me as we get ready to close? Now, if you've never heard the story before, there was a lot of that trash talking going on. Then in verse 51, David had fired away his first stone. It knocked Goliath over. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Friends, there are some of you today that you are facing a giant in your life right now. I want to encourage you to make sure that that giant is dead or at least put on notice before you leave this place today. Your identity as a child of God. What you do is you kill giants. It's okay today to kill whatever giant is in front of you. Whatever giant you're facing. We fight our giants different. We push back with the Word of God. We pray, we worship. We fight a little different than the world fights. But we fight nonetheless. Friends, if you have a giant today that you want to kill, I'm going to ask you just to come right up here. Come right up to the front. Maybe you need to spend some time in prayer today and just put that giant on notice. Maybe you need to fire that stone. Maybe to pull the sword from the sheath and say, it's time. It's time for me to be victorious. It's time for this giant to be dead once and for all. Right now, across this room, whatever giants you're facing, I want to encourage you, just begin to speak back the word of God to that giant. Remember who you are. And you don't need to rush today. You don't need to just take 30 seconds or a minute. You could take some time. Take some time. Let's do some giant killing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every giant will fall. Father, today, help us to face these giants. Help us to face these giants with the attitude of young David, who said, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel. You have defied today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, cut off your head. May this rise up in your spirit. May you face every giant, and may you see him defeated. May you experience the reward of that victory. Might you find yourself walking and living in the freedom and destiny that God has designed. Father, today would you give us great strength and courage. Remind us every day
who we are as your children. And what we do, we kill giants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, everybody. God bless you, everybody.